listening.
You would feel the same if you wasn't in my position. Things I could have changed and I should have changed them with you.
Nothing but the best is what I wish you.
At RA Digital with New Look, various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as live, comments and share, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital. Available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
Kasalami is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasalami is generally shaped like a tumpeng or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasalami. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or cloth to be compacted. This compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in thick or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called KGP. To make kasalami, initially KGP is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then the ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This dough is made from woven coconut leaves. To steam the KGP, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The cone filled with KGP flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One kasalami is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 kasalamis. Kasalami is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processed fish, such as grilled fish, fried fish, and salted fish. Kasalami is the initial food in Buton's traditional events. Interestingly, kasalami is also often used as talks or trips or souvenirs between fellow Buton residents. Kasalami can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and the sweet blend of tea will add to this culinary delight.
Well, listener, after this, we will listen and watch a special interview with Liz Utami, the executive director of Hutan Itu Indonesia, talking about what, of course, the fun fact about the forest of Indonesia. So stay tuned with us for this interview, only on Voice of Indonesia. Hello, well, listener. And RRInet viewers, welcome back. Still here in Indonesia today, and right now we've just seen a video about the beauty of natures of Indonesia, and right now we have a special guest that are going to talk about the fun fact about the forest and its preservation. With me right now is Liz Utami, the executive director of Hutan Indonesia. Hello, Tami, how are you today?
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you. I'm really I'm fine, and I'm really excited to present Hutan Indonesia today in Voice of Indonesia.
Okay. So, before we start, actually, I've been within contact with Hutan Itu Indonesia with Kadia Fatia before.
Okay.
We talk about we talk about a little bit about the force of Indonesia as well. And but right now we're going to talk about the preservation of force of Indonesia. So can you tell me a little bit about the Hutan Indonesia to our listener and viewer who don't really know what is it about?
Okay. What should I call the listener from Voice of Indonesia?
You can call...
Just listener.
You can call it.
Okay. So there's no like special calling.
No, there's no special calling. The special calling is for the animals in the forest.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon, listener of Voice of Indonesia. I'm Tami from Hutan Indonesia. I'm really excited to share about Indonesian forest and how we all need to protect and preserve our forest. Because as you know that the current situation or condition in Hutan Indonesia or Indonesian forest, you should know that Indonesian forest currently still rank the third largest tropical forest in the world after Congo and Brazil. So as for your information, we are still in a good rank for now. The position is still in the third in the world as a tropical forest. And also Indonesia is still at the second rank as the forest with the richest biodiversity in the world. So you can imagine how beautiful, how rich our Indonesian forest. We are the third, we are the second in biodiversity. So as Indonesian, we all must be proud of the wealth of Indonesian forest, because we are all, I think we are all Indonesian, really depending to the forest as our source of life. So that's the current condition of Indonesian forest.
Okay, you just answered my first question. Tell me. I was going to ask about that, but you already answered it. So let's move on. You just mentioned that we are the third largest tropical forest in the world, right?
Yeah.
But are we? But is it true that Indonesia's forest is the eighth place in the country with the largest forest area in the world?
Yes, that's true. I mentioned about the tropical forest, so we are at the third position, so you can imagine it's just the tropical forest. So we counted all the forest area in Indonesia, we are in the eighth position in the world. So you can imagine with this wealth, we are in the eighth position, how big impact, how big it is the impact of the forest to the climate, to the global issue, is it just from Indonesia? So that's why the conservation efforts really need to do in Indonesia to preserve our forest. So the position is still in the eighth rank. It's still maintained, something like that.
Okay, so the eighth largest forest in the world, that is some achievement that you can say that, boy listener, because just like Tommy said, the tropical forest is ranked third, so that means we have a huge amount of forest that is spread out around Indonesia. And speaking of the largest forest in the world, since the forest is so big, does the deforestation usually happens in the forest of Indonesia?
Deforestation is something I think it's kind of sad news, right? Because deforestation is something it always happens like every year in Indonesia. According to the data from the Oregon Center Foundation, because I haven't found any data from our ministry from last year. Mm-hmm. So I obtained the data from Oregon Center of Condition. It mentions that last year, in 2024, the deforestation increased more than 4,000 hectares.
Oh.
So from the previous year. So you can imagine, every year there's always deforestation caused by many like industrial encroachment, forest fires, and something like that. So it's kind of sad news that it's always happened every year. So I hope that by we raising awareness about deforestation, about forest preservation, the numbers can be decreased the next year. Because, last year the number still increased more than 4,000 hectares. Yeah. Hopefully the next year will be decreased.
Okay. So I would like to ask again about the deforestation. Does the deforestation rate is currently happening faster than when compared to us planting the trees and keeping the forest alive? Timmy.
Okay. So the deforestation, it's something like, what is it? Like, we have like deforestation action. Mm-hmm. Alright, for our deforestation. But as you know, deforestation is faster than our action, than reforestation. Because as we know that today we also face the climate crisis that can be increase our deforestation because of the heat, because of the temperature, and also the temperature can make the forest fire worse, something like that. So deforestation will be faster than our action, actually. So as you know, when we plant one tree, it takes more than 5 years to be a big tree, something like that. But when the forest fire happens, it like wipes out all the trees. So it cannot be compared between the deforestation and the reforestation. Must be faster than deforestation. Yeah, that's kind of sad news.
Yeah, but still, you as a community of Hutan Itu Indonesia, there's been a movement that's called Planting a Million Trees movement contributed to the reforestation of Indonesia. Can you tell us about the Planting a Million Trees movement?
Okay, yeah, the 1 million tree movement, I think it happened several years ago when Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono as a president, he encouraged so many people to plant the trees. And it's a good thing. I mean, like, it's not just a ceremonial when we really plant the tree and monitor them and really taking care of the trees until it really grow into the big trees. So it's a good movement to combat the deforestation and also to reforestation some areas. So it's a good thing. But in Hutan Indonesia, in my organization, we also promoted another initiative. We call it forest adoption. So it's not just planting trees, it's not just ceremonial, but we also encourage people to adopt the tree that it's already in a conservation area. So adoption or tree adoption means people can adopt a tree in a conservation area, in in a village that in a village forest that is really conserved by the local community. So we also help the local communities can protect the forest, can protect the tree. So and we are encourage so many people, public, to give them the support what they need to preserve or to conserve this tree. So the tree will be standing inside the forest without standing inside the forest without like illegal logging, something like that. Yeah. So So the local communities will protect the trees and from the illegal logging or forest fire, something like that. So it's not just deforestation, we also have conservation action.
Okay. Tell me before we continue about the discussion of the forest and its preservation, let us listen to this following song to mooden up for our next segment in this interview. Okay, boy listener, we are still back in this interview with Tommy with from Hutan Itu, Indonesia. Now I want to ask about the tree's adoption. Is it the same like animal adoption where you have a name and certificate to it so that everyone can see that that tree is yours? And what is the impact of adopting that tree?
Okay, yeah. You know, tree adoption is interesting program. Mm-hmm. It's not like we adopt an animal like cat or dog that we can take them into our house. So basically, tree adoption, we really adopt a tree, but the tree is standing inside the forest mm-hmm. that is maintained by the local communities as a ranger. So, by adopting one tree inside the forest, we give donation for the ranger to do the patrol and to take care of our tree. So we also can see the tree, but we can't take them to our house.
If I want to take the trees into my house, is it possible?
Oh, you know, So we can see the tree. If you have budget to visit the forest, you can see the trees. But if you don't have the budget, we also give the adopter like certificate with the tagging, like the geotagging. So you can like copy or write the geotagging into the Google Maps, and then you can see the tree by the Google satellite. So technology now is really amazing, you know, so we can also monitor and see our trees inside the forest by using the geotagging that's given by Hutanis Indonesia in the certificate they received.
Okay, so it is really interesting, for a listener. You can now adopt a tree, not just an animal.
And not also adopting tree is not also for you, but also maybe you want to give someone a tree, like your partner, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. So you can give them as a gift. You know, you can give a tree as a gift for someone you love, something like that.
Okay, so it is really interesting. And if I want to adopt a tree, is there ways on step by step on how to adopt it?
Oh, it's really easy. Yeah, you can come to Hutan Indonesia website at Hutan Ipu ID, or also you can contact the numbers in Hutan Ipu ID Instagram account. There is a number, so you can contact the number directly. It's the easy step.
Okay, make sure to check it out and visit the Hutan Ipu Indonesia. Okay, so is there any legal action that protects the tree's adoption if there's maybe like an illegal logging where someone is illegally trying to take down the tree? Is there any legal action to protect the trees from being logged?
Okay, so now we talk about regulations. Actually, there are so many regulations to protect the forest, right? The government, I believe that the government continues to tighten regulation, increase the like the law enforcement against illegal deforestation. But I want to highlight one of the regulations that is really related to our movement and our campaign. There is one regulation, it's a presidential instruction, number 5, from 2019 regarding the termination of the granting of new permits and improving the governance of primary forests and peatlands. So you can imagine this regulation will terminate to granting a new permit and improving the governance. It's really a good instruction from the President Jokowi in 2019. So because to remind people that we need to monitor this regulation. In 2020, along with more than 100 collaborators from many CSO and NGOs in Indonesia, we tried to make a movement or campaign called Indonesian Forest Day. You know, there is no Indonesian Forest Day in Indonesia. We have another many celebration, but we don't have Indonesian Forest Day. So, regarding like to commemorate this special moment that President Jokowi assigned this presidential instruction regarding to protect the forest, in 7 August we celebrated as Indonesian Forest Day. So I think that's one of a good regulation that we need to keep monitor and also work along the government how to implement this regulation in a good way.
Okay, so the regulation is really strong in that one in protecting the trees. And if it's okay to ask, I want to ask, what forest does the tree adoption that is available in Indonesia right now from Hutan Indonesia?
Okay. So now we are back to the forest.
Yes.
We have actually this project from Bhutan Indonesia is collaborated or working along with local partners. We have so many partners in Java Island, especially in West Java, in Bogor, in Bandung, and also in Sumatra Island and Kalimantan Island. So we protect the forested area in Bengkulu, in Jambi, in West Sumatra, in West Kalimantan. Basically the tree adoption project is still in the three islands, Java, Sumatra, and Kalimantan. Yeah, we hope by if there are more public support, we can also extend these initiatives to other islands like Sulawesi and Tete and other forested area like in Papua. We are really excited if we can extend these initiatives.
Okay, so there are two questions left. And the first one is, what measures should be taken to protect the forest, and who should be involved? Is anyone can be involved in protecting the forest, or maybe like, is there a specific type of people that should protect the forest?
It's interesting question.
Okay.
Because when we talk about the forest, sometimes not all the people think that we can do something for our forest. Because the forest issue is really not so popular, sometimes especially in urban area, that we are not really related, or we are not seeing the forest every day, so feels like it's not our issue. It's just other issue that for people who live in the forest. But actually, what happened in the urban area, what we do as an urban people, is also related or impacted to the forest. For example, if we consume more like palm oil, and many things that it's not really good for our environment, it also lead to the deforestation. So just now we are breathing.
Breathing.
We can breathe oxygen, fresh air. It happened because we still have the forest. So imagine if there is no forest, we can absorb the emission from the pollution in urban. I don't know, maybe we need to buy the oxygen to breathe. Yeah, so that's something that it's really related in our daily life, but sometimes we forget that it is related to the forest. So that's why the forest is sometimes it's not popular, because we didn't realize about that impact. So actually, how to protect the forest, who can protect the forest, it's our responsibility. I mean, all the people responsible to protect the forest. Anyone can protect the forest in their daily life, in their capacity. What they can do in daily life, it also can protect and preserve the forest.
Okay, so everyone is responsible for everyone's health, because if we don't protect the forest, maybe just like you said, we maybe have to buy fresh air to breathe.
Exactly.
Okay, so that is a really interesting take. And what can people do is maybe like plant trees in their house, or like plant a garden in their house. Does that help the air?
Okay, so what we can do, actually, there are many things we can do. Like in Hutan Indonesia, we have five call to action.
Okay.
So the first one is the easiest one. So as a urban people or everyone has the phone, Mm-hmm. We cannot live without the phone. So we can, the first we can do digital campaign. So everything, so spread the awareness, the story, everything that related to the forest, issue, you can spread it in our social media. So it's the easiest way we can do. It's not just the planting trees. The easiest way is as close as from our phone. So we can do the digital campaign. And the next, if we near the forest, we can take a walk, we can make a trip to the forest, so we can really connecting to the nature. And also we can tell the people that the forest is more than just the trees. The forest give us like, the fresh air, make us relax. It's good for our mental health. We need to experience that. So the people can also take a trip to the forest. And the next one, if you know like non-timber forest product, like honey, it's the easiest way. So we can also support the local product from the local communities who sell the like the honey. By supporting the local community's economy, it also make them empower and make them will protect the forest more, not just cutting the trees. Because they can have alternative economy. So we need to support the local communities, but by buying their craft product, honey, or many non-timber forest products. And the next, we can do forest adoption. The project like I told that we can do the forest adoption by giving donation from everywhere and anywhere. As long as you have a phone, you can contact Hutan Indonesia and then ask how you can adopt a tree. And the last one is celebrating Indonesian Forest Day in 7 August. So I hope everyone can spread the awareness, and we all can, like, once in a year, we can celebrate together the wealth of Indonesian forest in 7 hours.
Okay, Tammy, and the final question. If you could send a message to everyone about saving the forest, what would it be? Make it into a one sentence and make it super epic so that it will be tagged.
Okay, so for everyone, let's save the forest because it saves our lives. That's it.
Okay, thank you so much, Tammy, for taking your time to do a special interview.
Yeah, it's really nice chat. Thank you so much for inviting me to this afternoon talk. I hope it will be important and also raising more awareness to protect the forest.
Yes, I hope that it will be super impactful for everyone who are listening right now. And thank you so much for tuning in this special interview with Tammy from Hutan Itu Indonesia. And always stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia for more interesting interviews like this.
Maklum status kita LDR-an, lewat pulsa kita pun bersua. Tanggung bulan, dompet gemeteran, HP lowbat, paketku pun istet. Cafe yang sesuai budget, demi update dirimu di gadget.
Mencari wifi yang untuk diri, mencari wifi dalam
Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, if you visit Ambon, it's incomplete without tasting ikan asar galala, the most iconic culinary in Ambon, Maluku. It is called ikan asar galala because it has been known since ancient times that Galala village is a fish hunter. The basic ingredients of ikan asar are generally cakalang fish, yellowtail fish, or mackerel tuna fish, as long as the fish's texture is dense so that it is not brittle when smoked. Ikan asar is a smoked fish. This is smoked differently and uniquely. In general, the fish is smoked horizontally, but ikan asar is placed diagonally on the side of the embers that produce smoke to make the fish completely dry and fully cooked. The cooking process is quite simple. After cleaning the entrails, the fish is skewered with bamboo and ready to be smoked on the stove. The smoking takes about 4 until 5 hours and is done in a closed room so that the smoke soaks into the meat until it is completely cooked. Listener, ikan asar has an extraordinary taste because the small fish is savory and the aroma is so appetizing. Ikan asar is very appropriate to be enjoyed with warm rice and sambal colo-colo, a typical Maluku sauce made from shallots, chilies, basil, and key lime.
All the times you stayed with her instead, waking up in the night to an empty apartment alone. Should've listened to my girls day one, feeling like a victim hit and run. Like a curse keeping me in a coma 100 years. Now you come back crying, tell me I'm your queen, crying that she was just a myth. Every day with you felt tedious. Didn't like the girl I had become. Like a spring memory to the beat of life in you.
Rupat Island is a quite large island and covers an area of 1,500 square kilometers. Rupat Island has many attractive panoramas and natural charms. Tourists who come can find views of a small river that flows calmly to a large river that divides the island. The view of the white sandy beach can spoil and captivate the tourists who visit it. Rupat Island is one of the big islands in Bengkalis Regency, Riau Province. It is even larger than the island of Bengkalis, which is the central of government for Bengkalis Regency. The location of Rupat Island is directly adjacent to two of Indonesia's closest neighbors, namely Singapore and Malaysia. Even the lip of the beach is also directly adjacent to the Malacca Strait. Rupat Island is an actively populated island, so there are no opening and closing hours. The island is open 24 hours. The entrance tickets to Rupat Island vary depending on what tourism attraction you are going to visit. If only to enter Rupat Island, there are no costs besides boat tickets for transportation. As an island that is intended to be a tourism destination, several facilities have been built on this island, such as restaurants and inns. To get to Rupat Island, you have to cross by boat known as Ro-Ro ship or roll-on roll-off. The crossing fee is 100,000 rupiah per car and 6,500 rupiah per person. The crossing time is around 30 until 45 minutes. Listener, to attract tourists, the Rupat Beach Festival is usually held in October. This is an annual agenda for Bengkalis Regency. In the festival, there are a number of competitions that are participated in by the local community, such as parade of ornamental canoes, kites, pillow fights, beheading boat races, and many more.
Many people may know Endeavour Lake Limutu.
the three-colored lake with breathtaking beauty. But few people know that Ende has hundreds of different cultures in every region. Therefore, we take you to a tradition village which is located 12 kilometers to the east from the city of Ende, namely, Wolof.
Here's the news. The Indonesian Stock Exchange Composite Index is predicted to move sideways due to mixed domestic and global economic sentiments. Market players are closely monitoring economic indicators and external factors that could influence stock movements. Analysts suggest investors remain cautious while seeking potential investment opportunities. Next news. State-owned fertilizer company Pupuk Indonesia is investing 116 trillion rupiah to enhance its production capacity and strengthen the national fertilizer supply. The investment will be allocated for modernizing existing plants and developing new facilities to meet increasing agricultural demands. This initiative aligns with the government's efforts to support food security and boost the agricultural sector. And that was the news.
Apakah mungkin aku ini sudah gila? Belum bertemu tapi sudah jatuh cinta. Saat tak sengaja melihatmu di sampul majalah yang tak pernah terpikirkan untuk ku baca. Tapi itulah cara cinta bekerja. Tanpa permisi dia datang tiba-tiba. Lalu ku putuskan untuk mencari tahu siapa dirimu. Dan masih mungkinkah aku tercoba memiliki hatimu. Majalah itu juga jadi gadis yang kan temani hari-hariku. Dan ku ingin cintanya menjadi sambul di hatiku. Semoga depan aku selalu menjadi nomor satu. Tapi siapakah diriku ini
yang kata orang tak rupawan begini. Tak bisa asik bergaya dengan segala macam cara yang ada di anak muda masa kini. Tapi apa salahnya punya hayalan, harapan atau sekedar angan-angan. Lalu ku putuskan untuk mencari tahu siapa dirimu dan masih mungkinkah aku itu juga jadi gadis yang kan temani hari-hariku. Dan ku ingin cintanya menjadi sabun di hatiku, yang terdepan lalu selalu menjadi nomor satu. Sambung majalah itu juga jadi gadis yang tadi hari itu. Aku ingin cintanya jadi sambung hatiku, yang terdepan dan selalu jadi nomor satu. Aku ingin gadis yang sambung majalah itu juga jadi gadis yang kan memari hari itu. Aku ingin cintanya jadi sambung hatiku, yang terdepan dan selalu jadi nomor satu.
Listener going to culinary tour to Banyuwangi, East Java, you should come to Wit-Witan Market, the traditional market which becomes one of favorite places in Banyuwangi. Is located at Alas Malang Village, Singojuru Sub-District, Banyuwangi.